This is RSBNB Update, episode 214, recorded Thursday, July 23rd, 2009. Membros! Hello, everybody.
Membros!
Yes, that's Brad going a little crazy on something, some sort of weird drug.
South American country.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's part of Europe, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's coming up later. So, your name is Brad, my name is Shane. I just got back yesterday from a trip that we talked about last week, which we'll
Seattle.
Talk more about later. Yeah.
Were you sleepless in Seattle?
No, actually, I wasn't.
That's a shame.
Stop typing. Anyways, we got a quest this week.
Curse
of Arav.
A Membros quest.
Yes. So, some requirements first off. 37 Slayer, 41 Summoning, 61 Agility, 64 Range, 64 Mining, 64 Strength, 66 Thieving, Defender of Rock, Shades of Morden, Troll Romance, The Tale of the Muspa, Missing My Mummy, and you must have restored the Senlidden to 100%. Have you done all those?
No, I have not done the Mummy one.
Oh. You should. That was a good quest, by the way.
But those requirements are pretty hefty.
Yeah, they are.
As quests go.
And it's classed as a medium-length quest, which, I don't know, it seemed rather short to me. I can see it being classed as medium if you
Could it be medium based on the requirements alone?
It could be. That's what I'm thinking. Because previously in the other one, you only get up to 84% of restoring the mummy, right? So you... That does take a while to start off with. It took probably about half the time that the quest took. But after that, it was fairly straightforward. This quest was developed by Paul.
Paul Gower.
Yes, not Paul Nine-Nines. You know, it's always good to see one of the original three coming in and doing a quest, you know?
Who's the original three? Andrew, Paul, and Constant Tedder.
Wasn't there other brother involved?
Oh, Ian. Is Ian Gower?
I don't know. Is he still with them?
I have no idea. I thought the main two at the beginning were Paul and
Andrew. Yeah.
Who knows? If you're listening, Third Gower brother, it's, you know, we don't mean any offense. We just don't know you.
Yeah.
The chances of the Third Gower brother listening to this are nil.
Yeah, but if you are listening, send one of us a message, maybe Brad, because you live in the same country as him, and maybe you guys can go for some tea and crumpets.
Tea and crumpets? I hate your shallow stereotypes of British people.
Okay.
Why don't you go and hump a moose?
We don't do that here.
Yeah, you do.
No. Anyways, this quest was actually one of my favorites in recent history, I'd have to say so myself.
Well, isn't that because it's, you know, one of few actual, you know, quests that aren't retardedly short in a while?
Well, no, it was sort of short when you think about it, but I like it when things start coming together from something small and making something bigger, you know? This is what this is doing.
And you like it when things start small and get bigger.
Yeah, because this is what this quest is doing. Taking in various parts from all the other quests listed, like including even stories from Desert Treasure and stuff. So
isn't that what they said though? They were going to focus on wrapping up some of the existing quest lines.
Yeah, which is good. So
yeah, it's good.
Anyways, a bit of a little rundown for you that I'm going to go through right now. First off, if you weren't an intrepid explorer at the end of the Missing My Mummy quest, you had to go back and restore it, which I wasn't because I think I did that quest at 2 a.m., so I didn't bother. But I basically finished the restoring of it with the name and personality, of course. Then, of course, you go to Ali the Wise in Narda, who is obviously wise because, you know, he's like the alley of, say, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out what he is. What's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea, since I'm not a mind reader.
He's a scholar, that's it. He's a scholar. He tells you that you need to go to the top of Trollwise Mountain and go through a cave because we're looking for this Majorat ritual area where some ritual of theirs takes place.
No way!
Yeah,
rituals take place in ritual areas?
Well, yeah, it's up on top of the mountain, you know? You remember where we went snow sledding that time?
Oh, yeah.
It's east of there. There's a cave, and then that entire area is actually opened up now. So that's another area of the map that's open. So it's about time that they start filling these areas in. But anyways, once you head in there, you have to go through this cave, and you have to clear a whole bunch of debris because, well, it's a mountain and there's been cave-ins, so you need to, it's like sort of like a maze, and you have to go through it from all different sides to work your way through. And luckily, once you clear it, it's cleared for good, so you can run freely through it after. Then once you get to the end, there's stairs up into the castle. And in there, guess who you find? You want to guess who you find?
You.
No, you find a Rav.
Oh.
He's under control, under mind control by someone. So in order to do that...
Someone from the Majorat?
Yeah, that's right. So you start attacking him, but halfway through that, he becomes self-aware again and teleports away.
Tele-noob.
And then after that, there's just one other thing you have to do there. There's just you have to steal these plans. I forget what they're for, and a key. I think the plan is for the secret base that you have to infiltrate, I believe.
Good
and of
for
course,
you
also need the key. So it's a key and the base plans. And this is the same base that you run through for Defender of Varrok quest, the zombie one. Did you do that one?
Yes, I did that one.
Yeah, that was a good quest. I like that one. But
it wasn't bad.
Anyways, after that, you need to figure out how to preserve his heart.
I was reading Wired several weeks ago, and it had this machine in it. Well, it's not a machine as such, but they can basically hook pigs' hearts up to them and keep them beating.
Oh, that's interesting.
A flow of artificial blood, so they don't need to sort of.
So this would be a real life application for, say, keeping donated organs alive for longer.
Yes, because it's basically it keeps the heart beating and pumping with blood. Just basically, it's sort of where all the arteries and the veins sort of hook in. They just basically have tubes that they attach. That turn it sort of pumps blood around an extremely small circulatory system of these tubes, and it keeps itself going. It's very clever, really.
Yeah. Anyways, in order to use some magical thing involving dwellberries, sacred oil, and a ring of life to keep his heart preserved.
Interesting.
So once you create the jar, you need to, infiltrate the base, and then once you get through the various security measures, you need to take his heart and bring it back to Ellie the Wise, who's keeping it for some unknown thing in the future. So it's safe to say we'll be seeing another quest of the storyline.
Yes, they wrap up a few loose ends, but they keep a few going.
Yeah, so I think at most we probably have two more quests in this series. I think. I'm not
really?
Sure, though.
I'd say just another final one.
I don't know. Maybe. I think...
Possibly a hard quest.
Yeah, maybe one smaller one and then another hard one. I don't know. Because if you think about it, they're all sort of lining up to be the sequel to Wellgothic Sleeps, you know? Which is supposed to come out next year. So, it could be, you never know. But that's why I say two. One short one and then the hard one. But anyways, after you enter the base, there's a whole bunch of other little security things that you need to do. You need, like, a macaw to send it in to see when the zombies are moved away, the guard zombies. You need mithril grapple, of course, because, you know, it says no great heist is complete without a grapple.
Yes.
You also need insulated boots because there's an electrical field you have to walk through, so if you walk through that, it protects you from getting zapped. So yeah, that's pretty much the rundown of the quest. Rewards?
The rewards are pretty decent.
Yeah, I got actually 71. Yeah, go through it.
I got 6,000 agility experience, 30,000 mining experience, 9,000 range experience, 2,500 slayer experience, 4,000 summoning experience, and 14,000 thieving experience, and one solitary quest point.
I got 71 mining from it.
Wow, must have been worthwhile then.
Well, yeah, when you get that much mining XP, it's kind of hard to pass up, you know? I don't exactly like mining. Do you?
No, it's an intensely boring pursuit that one would really not bother with.
Yeah,
if so. One has fishing to occupy oneself.
Okay, any thoughts on this before I ask for a rating?
It's nicer to see, you know, slightly more difficult quests, higher requirements, even though it is a bit short. And, like, you know, it's good that they're wrapping up storylines, but I guess you can't really consider this one completely wrapped up because they've sort of left it dangling for another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay. I just want to show you this song that was in the quest. Oh, excuse the birds.
MIDI.
It's not MIDI.
I just say that to piss you off.
Let's see. I still get confused.
Why never, Shane?
Let's see.
Dum, 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 dum.
God, I can't find it. It's called The Heist, but it's not in the H section.
Why is this in the T? Oh, Jagex are retarded if they put a the in the T.
Oh, there
section.
It is.
Was it in the H section?
No.
Retards. Sounds like MIDI crap to me. MIDI.
There we go. It's not really MIDI music, but it could be worse. But this quest was takes a few references from favorite movies like Mission Impossible and stuff like that.
Well, this is not a mission difficult. This is
that's right.
A quest difficult. This is a quest impossible.
Yeah.
Why would they even say that? Because I mean,
well, no, they didn't say those exact words.
What do they say then?
Just the basic idea of like using a grappling hook and.
That's not really a reference to Mission Impossible.
Well,
Mission Impossible is
thinking
not
through.
The only place in popular culture where a grapple hook's been used.
Well, sneaking through areas and stuff, and there's another one. Well, that sounds an awful lot to get past. It sounds like an impossible mission.
Okay, well, yes, I'll give you that is a reference.
You know, they need another Star Trek quest.
No, they don't. One Star Trek quest is more than enough for a game of... if everybody in the world played RuneScape, one Star Trek reference.
Well, you know, there's seven seasons of The Next Generation and four movies with Picard. They have to do more.
No, they don't. They don't have to.
I'm going to give this quest a 4 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay. And I'm not going to teach you how to calculate averages this week.
4 plus 3 divided by 2 is 3.5.
Okay. Tweaks and fixes, not much this week, besides a way to how Mobilizing Army sets up the game. So that's probably about it. You guys can read the release notes for more.
Why would you want to, though? That's
I don't know. I like reading release notes of things to see what they've changed, you know? Like, whenever there's a new version of Firefox, I go and read the release notes.
How long are the release notes for?
I don't know. A few. One forum post today. Also miscellaneous changes.
I never used to bother reading the patch notes for World of Warcraft, and they used to stretch like, I'd say they were nearing 100 lines long in all the changes.
Well, this is probably 100 lines.
Well, yeah. Take that, RuneScape.
This next one's for you.
And a second.
RuneScape Portuguese.
Membros! Membros, membros, membros. Membros.
Portugal is a country in Europe.
Before the show, I said to Shane, I've been to Portugal. And he said, really? And I said, yes. I said, it's very poor. And he went, well, yeah, most of the countries in South America are. Shane's a dumbass.
No, but then you also agreed with me before we started that it was in South America.
No, it's spoken. Portuguese is spoken in Brazil. It's not South America.
So we got English, German, French, and Portuguese now.
Portuguese is a bit of a funny one to add to that. I agree with you. They probably should have done Spanish. Unless they just knew some Portuguese people and who spoke good English and could just translate everything for them.
I don't know. I think a Russian one might have been fun, you know?
What, with all the funny symbols?
Well, yeah, and seeing actual, drunken dwarves.
Why? What different would that be in the Russian language version?
Well, it would be more like, you know, Russians, right?
You like say all Russians drunk, Shane.
No,
that's a pretty racist comment.
No, it's just some stereotype that's been used in movies before.
What, the Russians all love vodka and they're all pissheads?
Yeah. Oops. Excuse me.
God damn it. Is that Membros?
Yeah, actually it is. But in Armageddon, when they docked with the space station Mir, there was a drunken Russian up there. Who liked his vodka. Anyways. Yeah. So let's see how many worlds they have. Oh, they have 3 worlds. They have world 125, 127, and 126. They even have a PvP world.
Good for them.
So that's good. But there's 600 people playing on them, which will undoubtedly go down. Because if you look at the French and German worlds, they're fairly not populated.
Yeah, I've got to imagine there's less demand for Portuguese worlds than there would be for either French or German.
Yeah, I think French would have the most demand.
I think aren't there quite a lot of Finnish people who play RuneScape?
I think so.
If you're Finnish and you're listening to this, send one of us a PM or an email.
Yeah, so we can see. Also, if you speak French as a native language, do the same. If you speak Portuguese as a native language, do the same. And if you speak...
If you're not English or American or Canadian or Australian, if English is not your first language, you're doing pretty well listening to an English podcast. Not that I'm trying to demean you or anything. I couldn't listen to a bloody, French or German part. Not that I speak French. My German is extremely rusty.
Oh, maybe you should take a trip back there.
I plan to sometime when I can be bothered.
Oh, that's good. Anyways, as Brad was saying, if English is not your first language, but you're listening to this show and you understand what we're asking, please send us an email or a PM on the forums at forums.rsvmb.com.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how many non-English speaking people there are.
Yeah. Anyways.
Perhaps we could start doing a French version of the show. Except I don't speak French, and Shane only speaks little French.
Yeah, I think we'd have to get...
Le Petit.
We'd have to get Chief Snake and Warren to do that one.
Does Warren speak good French then?
He's almost fluent, I think. They're not. They're both not fluent, but they speak good French. Yeah. Anyways, French is our second official language in Canada.
Yes, we know that, Shane. Everybody knows that.
Okay, this came out last week after we finished recording, so it was
after that mammoth recording session.
Bounty Worlds plus one.
Yay! Jack,
what do you think of these?
To the pressure of the idiots.
They shouldn't have, though, should they?
No, they should have kept the. Changed the way it was. It's not like Jagex to pander. I mean, imagine if they'd been like this after, they removed the original wilderness. Everybody would have been like, hey, we don't like this. Okay, we'll put it back.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess removing the original wilderness did have sort of real-world trading implications, whereas this really doesn't have any of those kind of implications.
This is more something about the economy of the game and such, you know?
This is just whinging players, basically.
Yeah. So, what this is, you always keep one item, your most expensive item, and protect item prayer does not work. So, with this, you also must risk 75k, so it's the same as before. It's 76k still, but it's harder to do, I don't know.
Yeah.
But now we have all different kinds of PKing. We have the regular PKing on a PvP world. We have the bounty worlds. We have the bounty plus one worlds. So that's a good amount of different PvP types, you know?
Yeah.
Because with that, there's such a huge variety, but it also splits it up. Question is, like, how long will each of these different varieties maintain enough of a following to be relevant, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
because each of them has a
really
world.
Really, that many massive differences between. It's sort of minor differences at most, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Each world is assigned to it, so I don't know. It should be interesting to see as to why they did this, but I just hope it works and it doesn't make things worse, you know? But I think the majority of people are happy about this, what I heard, but I just think it should have stayed the same.
I don't think they should have caved to Windsor's.
Yeah, that's right. So basically then you agree that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
No, I do not agree to your stupid and, sort of, yeah, I can't think of words. My mind has gone blank.
Okay. So, PvP, Bounty Plus One Worlds, I don't know. We're sort of impartial on that as we don't PvP, but okay. Here's the official numbers. There are four Bounty Worlds. One, two, three, five regular PvP worlds.
No, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not 1, 2, 3, 5.
Five regular PvP worlds and three bounty plus one worlds.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay. What's next? ISP outage. Yeah, last week, at the end of last week, they had one of their ISPs suffered some connection issues, and as a result, a huge, huge selection of servers were offline, including the very popular Worlds 1 and 2. So, as they've said in this thing, they will be suing for damages.
That link isn't on the main page. Isn't on the wiki. It doesn't work. It just says news items not found.
Yeah, they removed that, actually.
Why?
I don't know.
Probably because they're not going to sue now and they're pussies.
Yeah, I think they should sue, though.
Shane, you think everybody should sue everybody else. I think you're happiest in a world where everybody is suing everybody.
No, not at all. I think if things can be settled without that kind of thing, without that kind of interaction, it should be good, you know? But if the need arises, take it to court and sue. Anyways, we got a development blog this week called The Upload Manager, in which Mod Nexus describes his weekly job of running around the office to try and get an update out the door.
So, are we supposed to believe that Jagex's computers are powered by treadmill and this guy has to run
No, that's not what it means.
That was terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize wholeheartedly for that stupid and I'm just going to
He just goes around the office making sure everything is in place before the update starts, from the news post, the forum post, to the in-game updates, quality assurance and stuff like that.
Right. It so also, he's sort of like he's like the he has to bring it all together.
Yeah, that's right. So he goes through how if one update is delayed, it pushes the one back because there's a whole process that starts in which it goes to a release candidate server where that's tested, but if there's a bug, it gets pushed back. And I don't know. It was an interesting read because they say there's the game engine team maybe working on something else. Graphics artist might be tweaking things. Web content team is tweaking things. The web systems team might be making changes to like the high scores or something. And the translation people are working on their own thing as well. So. And he said that his pace ranges from a brisk stroll to an outright sprint across the office, and he's not resulted to hurtling over desks.
Yeah, right.
Serious.
Health and he's lying. Health and safety would have his balls if he started jumping over a desk.
Oh, I've seen that kind of thing happen, you know?
TV doesn't count, Shane.
No. Once at my school, one of the...
That's kids, Shane. That's not a work environment.
No, just wait. It is a work environment, because once one of the sysadmins hopped over two desks because he was trying to run towards the internet connection to pull the plug.
Why?
This was the days of Sasserworm.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, it was a very quick sprint and over the desks. But anyways, that's a story for another time. But yes. It basically goes into this, and it made me realize that they need to have some sort of automated launching system, you know?
Yes. Or they need to get this guy a Segway so he can roll around in the office rather than having to run.
Yeah, because really, if you think about it, the forum posts and everything should really be synchronized by computer, you know? Sort of like how the space shuttle launch happens, right?
No, Shane, nothing should be done as NASA does it.
Yeah, they should have like a huge, nice, big countdown clock and everything too, you know? And then
what, in the offices?
Yeah, in the office, and then 30 seconds to launch, the computer takes over everything, and then they just sit back and watch.
Yay, we've delivered another, you know, subpar update that will just about placate our legions of hapless 13-year-olds. Yay, celebrate.
Anyway, so release schedule, then copy onto release service, more testing, and then out, more testing, and then there you go, the whole sprinting routine. I don't know, wouldn't that be fun, though, having like a video of the JAGEX offices and a nice countdown, you know, a countdown clock?
I feel you've made way too much of a small point.
Oh. Okay, let's go on to the poll, then.
First question. I had the poll open, but now it's closed. You take the first one.
Okay, the first question is, well, I should say that this is a poll called A Night at the Movies.
Oh, Jesus, it's not going to make a RuneScape movie, are they?
That'd be fun.
No, it would not.
How frequently do you attend the cinema? 38% say once every few months, 23% once every couple of weeks, 15% once a month, 10% once a year, 7% I do not go to the cinema, and 6% once a week. How often do you go?
Well, it's difficult to quantify because my attendance at the cinema is really sporadic. Sometimes I will go maybe 4 or 5 times in the span of about 2-3 weeks. And sometimes, as is current, I will not go for maybe a month or two.
Okay.
So I'd probably say maybe once a month if you averaged it out.
Okay. What was the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw was that was longer than a month ago, actually. It was Valkyrie. Long time ago.
Didn't you know, but what about Star Trek?
Oh, yes, that one. God, I blocked that from my memory. See, the last movie I enjoyed was Valkyrie. I'm also supposed to be going to see the new Harry Potter movie tomorrow night before I go on holiday.
Oh, that sounds good. Who are you going with?
Marie.
You'll have to give us a review.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen any.
Not as good or something.
I've only seen the first two. But anyways.
Did you read the books?
No,
you don't read, do you?
No.
Too difficult for you, Shane.
I don't have the time. The last movie I saw was Star Trek, so I said for this poll once every few months.
Okay. How many DVDs or Blu-rays do you buy in an average month? 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, more than 6? I don't know. I do not buy any DVDs or Blu-rays. I'm not a big fan of... I like going to the cinema, but I don't often buy DVDs.
Okay. I prefer DVD because it's more comfortable, you know? The only problem I have is that the TV isn't as big as it should be. But the sound system is good.
Poor Shane.
I know. So they need an option. I think I put 1 to 2, but it's probably not even that. The last thing I bought was 24 Season 7.
The last thing I bought was Frost Nixon, and that was ages ago.
How many DVDs or Blu-rays do you rent in an average month? 41% do not rent DVDs or Blu-rays.
Same
1 to 2, 23%. 3 to 4, 13%. More than 6, 8%. I don't know, 7%. 4 to 5, 5%. And 5 to 6, 3%. I said 1 to 2 on this one. That's something we do lots here. We rent movies. Sometimes it goes up to 3 or 4, but I think 1 to 2 would be a better average. I'm trying to think of what the last one was. I don't know. What was the last thing you rented?
Can't remember. I don't really rent.
Okay. Next.
Next. How many? Which platforms do you play your DVDs or Blu-rays on? Please click all that apply. Home DVD player, portable DVD player, PC, Mac, games console, other, none of the above. I'd say probably home DVD player.
Okay. I said home DVD player and PC, Mac. Because it's actually quite helpful when you're playing RuneScape to just put a DVD in, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's what I said on that one.
Unless it's Star Trek, in which case it's completely not worthwhile.
The last one, or no, second last one. Which are the favorite genres of movies do you like to watch? Now, in order of descent, first one is action and adventure, then comedy, then science fiction, then thriller, then horror, then family,
then horror.
Horror.
Pronounce your H's, damn it.
Romantic comedy, documentary, then drama. What's your order for these?
Which
ones do you like to watch? Yeah.
Action, adventure, comedy, documentary, drama, thriller. No, not thriller. Action, adventure, comedy, documentary, drama. Just the top four, basically.
Okay. For me, action and adventure first, then science fiction, then thriller, then documentary.
Yeah.
I don't like comedy.
Yeah, because you're not a funny person.
No, it's just people that try...
No, you're not a funny person.
People that try to be funny aren't funny to me, you know? But last one.
Thank you, Shane. That really hurt. Which of these websites, if any, do you read to learn about more about movies? Ain't It Cool News, Empire, Entertainment Weekly, E! Online, IMDb, MSN, Premiere, Rotten Tomatoes, Total Film, Variety, YouTube, other, none of the above. None of the above for me.
Okay. I said YouTube, IMDb, and Rotten Tomatoes.
You read those sites?
No, only if I'm looking for something to watch. Like, if there's a movie I'm interested in, I'll check it out on those sites first.
I didn't even do that.
Oh. It can save lots of time from being disappointed.
So I usually know what I like and what I don't.
Yeah, but some of the movies that come out, you know, it's kind of hard to know. Oh, the last movie, there was one with, what's the black guy's name who's older, not Denzel Washington?
Morgan Freeman.
Yes, him and...
The greatest actor alive.
Okay. It was called The Code with Morgan Freeman and... I forget who the other guy was.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, but that was the last movie. It was okay. It was okay, but there have been better.
Are you sure it was called The Code?
Yeah, pretty sure.
It kind of had Morgan Freeman in it then.
Yeah, it did.
Thick as Thieves.
Yes, that's it. That's a code name.
Morgan Freeman, Antonio Banderas.
Yes, that's who he is. That's right. I don't know. The score was better with Robert De Niro than that. Did you ever see that one?
What?
The Score?
No.
Well, you should. It's a good movie.
There's a lot of things I should do.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how we got into talking about movies on here, but... anyways. What nationality is Antonio Banderas?
Spanish, I believe.
Oh, and not Portuguese?
No, he's no membros. Membros. Yeah, he's Spanish.
Okay, that's too bad. Yeah,
no membros for him.
Did we say... That Spanish should have been the one they chose instead?
Yeah, but like we said, they probably know some Portuguese people.
Yeah. Oh, well, I know some Spanish people.
Good for you.
Anyways, that's it for RuneScape updates this week.
Jesus Christ, that was another long one.
No, not really.
Close on. Yes, it was.
Do you have anything else?
No, I have nothing else.
Okay, we got some audio questions this week. First one up is from Rice.
We've got five.
That's some, you know? Some means greater than one.
Just play it.
Did you take your meds today?
Shut up.
Hi guys, and as you may know, Jagex recently removed the summoning tab and moved all the options up to the summoning circle by the minimap. This forces you to right-click every time you want to do something familiar, as well as hiding the special bar so you can't see how many scrolls left you can use. In result of this, many people complained, especially on the forums, and Jagex responded by posting a sticky stating that this will be fixed, but in addition to a quote-unquote complex summoning update. What do you guys think this complex addition is, and how do you think they'll fix the summoning functions for easier use? Yes, if anyone is interested in reading the sticky, it's posted on the official forums under recent updates. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, Rice.
Maybe they might actually make summoning, you know, worthwhile and worth doing.
Well, it is sort of useful. There are some familiars that are useful, like, for instance, the Unicorn, Bunyip, the Titans, the Abyssal ones, etc.
Yeah, but the majority of them aren't, and by and large, it's a useless skill.
Well, the Beast of Burdens are also useful. I think summoning is useful, but...
You're a hypocrite. The other week we were talking about it, and you said you thought it was pretty much useless.
No, I never said that.
You thought it was a poor skill.
Well, compared to farming, yeah.
Oh, God. Everything's a poor skill compared to farming in your eyes.
Anyways, what do you think? I didn't hear anything about this update. Can you find this sticky?
Oh, for God's sake, what I am, your laptop?
I don't know. What do you think they could do as summoning?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything they could do.
Like, I don't know.
Let me just read the sticky.
As if you... They said that a new feature was coming out soon that was going to use the bottom...
I don't see it.
Yeah, neither do I. There's this feature that's going to use that bottom square that's not in use. So
yes, that's probably the new skill that's going to affect, that's going to be FGP as well.
Well,
medicine!
Yeah, RuneScape Cancer, but I don't see how that relates to summoning.
Well, obviously they needed to move summoning. I wonder how they're going to make it accessible, though. That's difficult. We're doing terrible on this question. We can't even give a reasonable answer to it.
Yeah, I have no idea about this.
I can't see what they could add to summoning. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like, the only thing...
Complex summoning update.
Maybe that I could see would be reworking the familiars to be more of like a NPC kind of thing that actually follows you, you know? Like, that appears on the map as a yellow dot.
That wouldn't be much of a... That wouldn't be a complex change.
Well, it could be, because if you think about it, it's a completely... It is in terms of code, because that's...
Yes,
completely...
but they're not going to call it a complex... they would not have called it a complex update in terms of coding. They called it a complex update in terms of game mechanics. I don't think that's what it is.
Well, yeah, it could, because what if your summoning familiar goes rogue?
We don't know what it is, but... I mean, okay, so let's try and answer the second part, because we failed miserably on the first part. I do think they're going to sort of fix the summoning tab being gone. Maybe they could sort of make the mini-map button sort of... When you left-click on it, it pops out a menu.
Yeah, that'd work. Another idea I had was just hover over it. Or maybe, for instance, just make it so that you one-click on your familiar and it brings it up. I don't know. That'd seem the most intuitive to me. What do you think? Just click on the familiar and it pops up.
Possibly.
I don't know. But, yeah, I'm sorry that we had no idea on that one. We're really not that... We're really not thinking that straight today. And that question was from Risei, who lives in the same area that I was visiting this past week.
Yay.
I could have went to visit him, you know? But anyways. Thank you. This next question is from someone who does not want to be named, and I think you might have put them up to this, Brad. And I think I know who it is.
Dear Shane and Brad, Shane, why did you cut out funny segments of last week's show so you would not look like an idiot? And Brad, why are you so mad about that?
I love you, anonymous person.
What was the second part? I didn't hear because you were laughing.
I think, why were you mad about that?
I'm
Play
not
it again. Play it again.
No, that's okay. I get it.
Play it again. Play it again.
Fine.
Dear Shane and Brad, Shane, why did you cut out funny segments of last week's show so you would not look like an idiot? And Brad, why are you so mad about that?
Why am I so mad about it? Well, I'm mad about him removing segments from the show because he selectively edited two different parts. The one where myself and King Cola mercilessly ripped on him for a certain choice of words, which it wasn't rude. It wouldn't have jaded any child that heard it. It was funny, and we all had a good laugh at Shane's expense because Shane is extremely naive when it comes to anything that's said vaguely sexual. And
The thing I want to say is that people should use words with their denotative meaning.
I'm sorry, Shane, but when you say things like I was playing with myself, what are we supposed to think? What are we supposed to think?
Well, it depends on the context.
Basically, Shane did edit it because he didn't want to look stupid.
No, that's not the reason I edited it.
Yeah, he did. Shane, I don't blame you. If I was as stupid as you, I would selectively edit the show as well.
No. Here's the true reason I edited it, for all those of you guys out there.
The true reason? Is this the same bullshit reason you've been telling me since you came back?
The reason is that I would have had to use an explicit tag if I didn't remove that part, because the explicit tag would have been needed because it was a sexual reference.
And as was the thing he left in the update about playing with himself.
I missed that. Nope. I'm sorry.
It's still out there without an explicit tag.
I missed it. I'm sorry. I missed it. If I would have caught it, I would have removed it. I didn't feel it was right to use an explicit tag for this one episode because it could potentially put someone off from listening to the show. And let's just say you did listen to the show and you were, say, younger, and you heard what we were talking about and you looked it up somewhere else on the internet.
Is no way you would have been able to look
just wait
like
I'm
that
not
up.
Finished
just,
I'm not finished
it was
I'm not
that
finished.
Ambiguous
I'm not finished. You would have looked that up and you would have had a worse experience than he wanted.
No, you
so
wouldn't.
That's why I removed it. For the good of the listeners.
Shane, you're the only person socially retarded enough to actually not know what that hints at.
Everybody
would know what that means, and they wouldn't look it up because they'd understand what it means.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if there's somebody
I was doing it for the good of the listeners. You were doing
stupid. No, of course not.
Yes, you were.
No.
It was self-preservation.
No, of course not.
Self-preservation. Anyway, let's move on because we ought to change.
Thank you.
Thank you, anonymous person. You have heeded my call wonderfully.
I think that person was Kenny.
I don't think it was.
Oh, do you know who it was?
Why do you think it was Kenny?
Because he has a topic about disrupting voices in the forums games forum.
No, it's not him. Just check out my RuneWire. Look at the top post.
Okay. Anyways, this next audio question is from Keither Fly.
Hey guys, this is Keither Fly from Epic Adventure Cast, and I was just wondering what you guys thought about JackX's tight hold on the game. It seems to me that the reasons why they have so many problems is because they try too hard to stop things instead of just deterring the problem. I mean, let's say you're playing Candyland Online and you're frolicking in the Candy Cane Forest. And Mama Ginger Tree's all like, yo, I got beef, noob. And of course you're going to take it lighthearted. In RuneScape, noob is one of the greatest insults someone can say because they can't say anything else. Seems to me like more people try to beat the system in ways like spelling out the F-bomb with fires, whereas World of Warcraft has no block on mature language and it's almost non-existent. The same is true for scamming and other problems. WoW prevents it by having bind on equip items. Anyways, just my opinion. Sorry, ran a little long.
I think you're pretty much right. I think that the more you try and stop people from doing something, the more they'll want to do it. If Jagex had an optional filter, there probably would be less people around trying to evade the filter because, you know, I don't think, you know, that the overwhelming majority of any MMORPG population are as retarded as they first seem, and I don't think they're the sort of people who'd want to run around sort of sprouting off the F-bomb now and then, just because they could. I think there'd be a bit of a novelty factor to it, as you know, there is in World of Warcraft, you can swear when you want. But honestly, I played World of Warcraft for 2 years, and anybody who listens to this update will know I swear a lot. And I never swore over text in World of Warcraft, because it's just not something you think of. So I agree with you that removing the filter probably would stop people swearing altogether. Or at least go a long way to preventing it. It certainly wouldn't be a flood of swearing by removing it.
Okay. I have to agree that it might help in the long run, because if you look at the forums with PHP BB 3.01, I think it was, we had the ability to offer the option to disable the sensor. We have that enabled, and it really doesn't cause much of a problem, you know?
No, some people swear, and the people who want to see swear words can see swear words, as long as they're not used in an insulting sense. It doesn't matter if people swear.
We have it enabled by default, which is the way it should be. So if RuneScape were to do that and leave it enabled by default...
Yeah, yeah, I think it's enabled by... the mature language filter is enabled by default on World of Warcraft as well. You have to choose to remove it.
Yeah, because... when you're dealing with something like RuneScape, you're dealing with younger people, so it's important to kind of have the filter on by default.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, good question.
Thank you. This next one is from Chris for Life.
Dear Shane and Brad, how did you start playing RuneScape? Did anybody show you or anything like that? And Shane, when we donate money to RSBNB, what does it go towards? Thanks, Chris for Life.
Okay. So you just say how you started playing RuneScape, and then we said it before. It's a quick answer.
A girl showed me it. Yes, a girl.
Oh, how did you know her?
Met her in New York.
Okay. Oh, I thought you
long
said you...
time ago.
I thought you said you married her for a second, but okay. No,
yes, I married her in New York at the age of 11.
Well, that's possible, but okay. For me, it's kind of obvious, but Mike showed me it.
Yes, Mike, and didn't he get it from people at his school?
Yeah, I think so. So in effect, his school is to blame for RSBNB.
Yeah, damn Mike's school.
Okay, donations. Donations are used for various
Strange
things.
Star Trek DVDs.
No, absolutely not. Things that donations are used for are paying the server, most obviously. The Donations Act is sort of a reserve fund in the event that the ad revenues don't meet what we need.
Or in the event that Shane needs some new Star Trek DVDs.
No. No. Also, the donations are used for if there's ever any little expenses that need to be paid for the site, you know, like things
like
that are...
Like Star Trek DVDs.
No. Like, for instance, I'm not saying we do this, but we might use donations to fund a lunch visit if Brad ever came here.
Yeah, right. I don't get paid jack. I've been doing this for over 2 years, and I've not received a penny of thanks. Okay. I know where I'm appreciated.
So you want a salary then?
No, because you couldn't give me. I'd feel bad about taking it. If the site was making money, if you were like making loads of money off it, then hell yeah, I'll have a salary. While you're struggling to meet the costs, I wouldn't feel right about taking money off you. Not that you'd give it to me anyway.
Oh, maybe. I'm generally a giving person.
Yeah, but if you can't afford it, and if it's dragging the site down, I'm not going to take money off you anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So do you want to give us money instead?
I've given you money in the past, you asshole. I've given you a lot of money.
Yeah, so...
I've given you money and time. You've
with
got
that
it all
said,
for me. What more do you want?
Before we moved off Libsyn, actually donations used to fund our RSBNB update entirely. But now donations just go into the general site revenue. Because Libsyn was paid by PayPal. So.
Me giving up my Thursday evenings to keep fund RSBNB update.
Oh, that's good. I like it when you do that. You should get your dad on and stuff.
No, he's at the pub tonight. He's at the pub. What a British thing to do, at the pub. I could be at the pub. socializing with people, but I'm not. I'm here at a computer talking to you about RuneScape.
It's like talking on the phone, you know?
It is like talking on the phone.
Anyways, thank you. This next one is from a guy named Matthew. Oops, I opened the wrong question.
Nice one.
There we go.
Hey guys. I was wondering, my best friend is a non-member, and I don't really know how to make money as a non-member, and he wants to make money, so I guess, how do you make money as a non-member? Great show, guys.
Thank you for the comment. Compliment.
Primary resources.
Use.
Primary
resources.
Yeah, and ores, maybe, to a lesser extent.
Coal.
Yeah. I don't really think that fishing is viable in members because nobody really buys lobster or swordfish.
Non-members.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
Can you even do lobsters in non-members?
Yeah, you can.
Where?
The Karamda Dock.
Oh.
But there's no bank.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not difficult. Yeah, so I'd go... You're going to have to stuck with some sort of gathering profession. I would personally... Depending on your skills, obviously, if you have a higher wood cutting, you'd use wood cutting. If you have a higher mining, you'd use mining. But I would probably say maybe wood cutting.
Yeah. Another
edge
thing...
Edge use might be created on free-to-play.
Yeah, or by south of the farming patch, which is south of Falador. There's a few there around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but it's a longer run to the bank there.
Yeah. Also, if you have a higher combat level, you could try the cockroach soldiers. They drop... rune squares and scimitars and fun stuff like that.
I'd just go for gathering, though, personally.
Yeah, that's what King Kala uses for combat, and they give quite a nice income, too. Only drawback on the forums is they're referred to as star soldiers. Because the forums censors cockroach.
Censors cock.
Yeah.
As slang for male genitalia.
Okay, they don't need to know that.
They know what it means. Come on, Shane.
No, I'm just saying if there's somebody younger, they don't need to know.
Or it could also be as in cock and hen.
Okay. Or cocktail. Cocktail
yes.
bar.
Or... No.
Okay.
Anyway,
thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Next
Thanks
one.
For the question. All of the audio questions done, finally. No, we like audio questions. Dear hosts, in RuneScape, membros! you didn't tell that, I just felt like shouting it. In RuneScape, there has been a lot of price manipulation going on with merchant clans, and this has really driven up the price of almost all items, especially with herbs and seeds. Do you think Jagex will ever stop this? I think it's gone on far too long. It may be going too far, but I think that G prices should be set in stone with very little difference in the price, say 5 to 10 GP. Thanks, Paracrazy. I don't like the idea of people manipulating prices, but I don't like the idea of them setting prices in stone either. I think the economy should be allowed to flow.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure exactly how they could fix it.
You can't set prices in stone, because if you have set prices, you create your surpluses and shortages, which, well, that's never good. And then your market becomes stagnant and it doesn't move anywhere.
Yeah, so it's stagnant, like the water in your toilet.
So what you really need is, the best way to handle this will be to remove all price caps and then also factor in...
Yes, completely free the economy.
Yeah, factor in also the trades that go on between player to player. Because you have to keep in mind that for merchants and clans, it's very easy for them to use a grand exchange. So if, say for example, that... say it was 50-50 or maybe even 60-40 to encourage personal trading again for controlling the price, that would help as well. Because
yeah, and if the prices were completely free and not regulated by the Grand Exchange, it would be harder for merchanting clans.
Yeah, because you're not gonna get merchanting clans doing person-to-person trading. And, you know, it might even help provide incentive to do personal trading again if it
I honestly think now that they've put the Grand Exchange in, there is almost no incentive to personally trade, because it's so much more convenient to go to the Grand Exchange and just get your items or sell. But I do think that removing the price caps or making them a fair bit wider would possibly cut down on merchanting clans, because obviously it's easy for them at the moment because they can just sort of they can push it up very slowly, whereas if sort of there was no set price on anything, it would be near impossible for them to manipulate prices.
See, prime example here is when I was doing 99 Herblore, I was able to cause a nice spike in the Lantadimi and Dragon Scales graphs.
Yeah,
that's
Shane
just
likes,
one person.
Shane likes to attribute that all to himself.
Well, yeah, it was. There's no one else.
Well, you buying... don't know there was nobody else buying copious amounts of those herbs.
Well yeah, 25,000 of each and at max, and none other bought, so there, I had to assume there's none other in the Grand Exchange.
Fine.
So.
Thank you for the question.
Power crazy. Wonder if he's powerful.
That's Shane's nickname. He's power crazy.
You know, I always wonder when he sends in a question if that's relating to the Power Rangers, you know?
No, it's not, Shane.
Okay. If you guys could switch lives for a day, what would you do in each other's body and why? Keep up the great show, Italy for life.
Second part. What would I do in Shane's body? I would spout lots of liberal propaganda and liberal views. What would I do? Well, apart from making him look completely politically hypocritical by turning him into a liberal for a day, I would get him really drunk on alcohol, because he says he's never drunk alcohol. I would make him smoke. I'd make him do drugs. I'd make him do basically everything that he refuses to do at the moment.
Oh, I'd make Brad make speeches on right-wing ideals, which he did not do on my to-do list I gave him.
I could hold the Nuremberg rally. No, not quite that far.
I'd also make him go skydiving.
I would find that fun.
Okay.
It's not scary.
I'd make him come visit me.
In one day, I'd get halfway. Yeah. I'd be halfway there on the plane. I'd be like, you know, and then I'd slip free of your mind control, and I'd turn around and go back.
What else would I do with you? I don't know.
That sounds perverted.
I'd go maybe have, I don't know, go try the English tea and crumpets. I don't know what else. But yeah, pretty much the same things that he'd do with me, because, well, if he did that, I'd have to do the same thing.
Yeah, how petty of you, Shane.
Also, right, how often do you have live shows on TeamSpeak?
Not very often.
Whenever we feel like it.
We do them more regularly if a lot more people showed up, but I understand maybe the times we record aren't always convenient for people, and maybe sort of the day isn't convenient, but usually we... Generally, it would be unusual for us to get more than about 6 or 7 people in there. And yeah, it's something we're still going to do regularly, but we're not going to do it that often because there's not that many people. If we were getting like large amounts of people, like 20 plus, then we probably would do it maybe once a month or something like that.
Yeah. I think next week's show might be live when you're gone. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Special show. Well, it would make sense to do that live.
Yeah.
Although it could be hard because there'd be a lot more people.
Yeah, so we'll just wait and see on that. That was from Italy for Life.
If it is going to be live, you'll receive sort of much notice in advance, probably by Monday or Tuesday of next week.
Yup.
And it will be the following weekend, won't it?
Yeah, the 31st or something.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Shane and Brad, if you were given $2 million to marry a Russian mail order bride and stay with her for 4 years... Would you take the offer? That question is from Mushroom Queen. It depends.
No.
Do I like... If I was to... you know, sort of for me to get the money, do I actually have to act like she's my wife? Or can I just tell everyone I've just got to be with her for 4 years, then I get $2 million? Because if I didn't have to pretend she was my wife, and if I just had to like live with her for 4 years and maybe buy stuff for her and like, you know, do wife... and husband things, then yeah, sure as hell I'd do it. But if I had to seriously pretend that this woman was my wife for 4 years, I don't know. I'd still probably do it, because $2 million is a lot of money.
No, I wouldn't.
Why not, Shane? $2 million?
No. It just for doing for money doesn't seem right.
Well, screw you. I'm getting rich. $2 million is mine.
I don't know. Does this thing sort of happen in Russia, or is this all...
No, I think it works the other way around. You have to pay for the mail order bride. They don't pay you.
Yeah, that would make sense, you know?
Is MQ still trying to hook you up with her cousin?
I don't know.
You remember she always used to say that she was going to get her cousin to come and marry you, because apparently her cousin was a mail order bride.
You just broke up. It sounds like you're on the moon.
Yeah, because MQ was trying to hook you up with one of her far-off distant relatives, because she was one of her cousins or something was a mail-order bride, wasn't she? In Russia? I'm sure she said that.
Yeah, or something
unless
like that.
Or,
yeah, probably. Or yeah. Interested in computers or something like that.
What, so you'd go for it if they're interested in computers?
No! Of course not.
Shane's going to live a celibate life.
Thank you, Mushroom Queen.
Next question.
Shane, if you were given years worth of World of Warcraft time, would you use it? Also, if so, what would your race and class be? I don't know. It's hard to say. It'd be nice to have, but I really don't see myself using it.
It would be a boring game if you didn't have friends to play it with.
Okay. And as for my race and class, I don't even remember what I was last time.
You were a Night Elf, which is the gayest class ever.
Why?
Because it is. It's an elf, for God's sake. I had a Night Elf male. That was my first character. That was my main character, really. But I was like, I was 14 or 15 when I made it, so I have an excuse.
Oh, you were so little back then.
Shut up.
Brad, if you're giving every class, Star Trek... Oh, class. I thought they were the same thing. Okay,
you'd
class.
You'd be a rogue, because rogues are fags. Like I was. I was a Night Elf rogue.
No, I don't think so. I forget what I set my class to be.
I don't can't remember either. I think you might have actually been a rogue. Anyway,
well, at least you were one as well. Brad, if you're given every Star Trek episode to date, would you watch them?
Hell no, I'd burn that shit.
Oh, that's not nice.
So? It would make
that's
a hell of a
nice.
Fire.
No.
Hell of a fire.
No. Thank you, Steven. I'm not sure what would be worse, Brad burning Star Trek or having to take a mail order bride.
Ooh, difficult choice. How about both? We could do it at your wedding. As you got married, I burned Star Trek DVDs.
No. Next one.
Next question. Shane, what is the difference between a front-end and a back-end server? What different types of things would you put in each one? If there's such a thing as a middle-end server, and if there was, where exactly would it be located? This is in reference to the stuff Shane cut out last year. Oh, it's funny.
Last year?
Last week, I mean.
Okay. The front-end server is, as we've said before...
It's a joke! He doesn't have to go into a big palaver about it, Shane.
The front-end server is where all the user stuff happens, and the back-end server is where all the behind-the-scenes stuff happens. Like, for instance, coordinating all sorts of actions would be back-end. Creating and displaying user interface would be front-end.
Okay, very good.
And that's it. And there's no middle-end server.
There we go.
They're
but
just connected.
He was just making reference to the stuff you had today last week, which is hilarious. Think of what sort of jokes we could have made people, front and back end servers. You think. Brad, do you giggle when you say Regina?
Regina.
Regina. Oh, what, like...
Regina,
no,
Saskatchewan.
I don't laugh. No, I don't giggle. I know, it's not really that funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next part.
Those two questions were from our fellow Mount Rushmore committee member, King Kula. Thank you very much for the questions. next question. Which politician would you push off a cliff? Current only. Assuming there are no consequences for you, I don't want Shane backing out of this one. Okay, then. Who would you push off a cliff?
There's this NDP member of Parliament for Edmonton Strathcona. She's really annoying. She's the only NDP member of parliament elected in Alberta.
What's her name?
I forget. What about you?
Gordon Brown.
Why?
The thing right with Gordon Brown is, I think usually when I hate a politician, I hate them in all quarters. I don't think they're a nice person. I don't think they're a good politician. I just hate them in every way. See Stephen Harper, the paedophile. But with Gordon Brown, it's confusing because I actually think he's an okay person. I don't think he's like this horrible monster. He looks like one and he acts like one sometimes. But I think he's a fairly decent guy. And I think more than anything else, he actually wants to do good. Probably more to be remembered than anything else, but I don't think he's, you know, sort of incompetent and stupid.
Oh.
The trouble is, he is just so bereft of any sort of kind of leadership skills or common sense that he just completely shoots any good qualities he has out of the park. He'll be remembered as being the only prime minister we had who was never elected.
Obama Beach,
yeah. He's obsessed with Obama, that's a bad thing. But yeah, he'll lose the election next June, and we'll all be happy for it.
And when he said that the UK saved the world.
No, when he said he saved the world.
Oh, I thought it was...
No, he said the first point of recapitalization was to save the banks. And we not only saved the world, I mean, saved the banks. That's what he said. I had that on my ringtone on my phone for ages. I changed it in the end because it used to catch me off guard. I used to just hear this old man talking. I was like, oh, it's my phone. I'll see if I still got it. I might still have it on my phone. Let me have a look. I'm looking now. I think I do. Yeah, it's
give me
here.
Your
look,
phone
listen.
Number. I'll phone it.
And can you hear that?
Yeah,
I'll say it again.
We not only saved the world and saved the banks.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it.
I think it's funny how the moment he says world, they all start jeering and laughing at him. And they're all falling about for about 10 seconds before the speakers start shouting order.
If I remember from the video, the speaker was having a nice little smile too, right?
Yeah, they laugh about it. We've got a new speaker since then.
Oh, that's good. Our speaker of the house has been the same for a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's the same here typically. They usually sort of, they're in the position until they retire. But, you know, there's been the expenses scandal over here, of Rempy's expenses. They apparently all blamed it on the speaker, even though I didn't like him. But I didn't think it was his fault, but everybody blamed it on him, and they basically, he in the end stepped down and they elected another one.
You know, back to the question, I was talking to King Kala about this one, and we decided that the best thing to do would be to throw all of Parliament Hill off the cliff.
Why?
Well, they're rather ineffective. They're all fighting with each other, trying to create little elections here and then, when nobody's going to win a majority government. There needs
That's
to be some...
That's the fun part of politics, the squabbling.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If I was Stephen Harper, I would appeal to one of the parties and just create a strong enough coalition to last until, I don't know, at least fall 2010.
I can't foresee we will have that problem in the near future in this country because the main two parties are a good deal ahead of the third place candidates.
No.
Of the third party, which is the Liberals.
See, that's the problem. We have a third and fourth party here, which also tend to get a good number of votes. So that's, you know...
Stupid Canada.
I don't know. We need to go back to a two-party system. Good old Liberals and Conservatives. What really needs to happen is the Bloc Québécois needs to dissolve, seeing as they're not relevant anymore.
Yay, I love Dion.
No, he's retired. And the NDP needs to merge with the Liberals to create the Liberal Democratic Party of Canada, and we'll be all one happy family.
Yeah, let's move on, because Canadian politics are boring.
Anyways, just a little note about the audio questions. We like audio questions. They can go to questions@rsbnb.com. But please make sure that we can hear you, because today I got one question in that I couldn't hear the person, and it would have taken me too long before the show to amplify it. So usually if your question isn't able to be heard the first time, and there's just a greater chance it won't be taken in. Thank you. We got some tech news this week. DRM is almost dead, the RIAA said.
The RIAA.
Yeah, I remember you having this quote before, you know? Somewhere.
The RIAA.
We need to, like, make a Brad soundboard where you can press a button and it'll play a sound.
Membros!
Okay. For years, the RIAA has defended the use of DRM, much to the dislikes of millions of honest customers who actually paid for their music.
Then, millions? Yeah, more like thousands.
What? I know people that pay for our music. We pay for all our music here.
Yeah, right, Shane.
My sister pays for her music.
Your sister's a dumbass, then.
No. Anyways, they had an interview with an RIAA spokesman, and they said that there is almost no DRM on downloaded music. anymore. So basically, he's saying it's an endangered species.
No shit. Meaning,
yeah. So, I don't know. How long do you think it'll be? I called 2008 for the end of our DRM, but I think I was a few months off. How much longer do you give it?
2 seconds. Ah, no, it's gone.
No, seriously.
I don't really know. I can't give you an accurate time frame.
You know, part of the problem is the draconian DRM on EA software titles and such, so it's software developers, too, that are causing the problems, but anyways, one day it'll all be gone, and we'll just look back and laugh on the entire thing that was DRM, because when you think about it, you have to look at it's not really that effective, is it?
No.
Pirates are still getting it. But anyways, next up, Windows Live Messenger turns 10.
Wow. I've been yesterday. Using it for the past 5 years? Six years?
I've been using it since MSN4 with Windows 98.
Wow.
So, I remember when video chat first came in.
Wow.
And audio chat. Yeah.
Wow.
So, Microsoft created a nice little video about this that you guys can watch. It's a YouTube video shot in various parts of Seattle, including two of the places that I was on my little trip down there. Bellevue and the I-90 Bridge. There's a shot about 2 minutes 20 seconds in showing downtown Bellevue, which is actually one of the malls that we frequented. Well, not me, but... you know how that kind of thing works.
Your mother and sister.
Yeah, that's right. So, check out this video. Skip to roughly 2 minutes 20 seconds, and if you're from the Seattle area, you probably have been there before. Yeah, they use that kind of same old cheesy music, you know?
Yeah.
But, anyways, correction, 210. They basically say this guy walked along this I-90 bridge, which was very long, because there's this mascot in a MSN suit that is called in for a meeting, but it turns out to be a surprise birthday party for the green MSN guy.
I know.
MSN turns 10. Check out this video. Skip to roughly 2:10 if you want to see a clip from up above as to where I was. Or maybe 2 minutes, that'd work too. MSN turns 10, and they released some stats with it. They have 333 million active users. 9.4 billion MSN messages are sent per day, meaning 290 billion are sent per month. Yeah, I know. I'd like to know how many of them don't get there, though, because of the shitty MSN client on Mac. Shitty MSN client made by Microsoft.
Shitty Mac made by Apple.
Here's another reason to celebrate. Windows 7 has reached RTM, which means that development on Windows 7 is done, and on this Friday, it goes out to OEM manufacturers, meaning people like Dell and stuff. MSDN subscribers get it August 6th, and of course, us consumers have to wait for our shrink-wrap copies until October 22nd.
And what does MSDN mean?
Microsoft Developer Network, it's sort of like this thing where you sign up and you get software updates and development packages and stuff for developing Windows software.
Oh, I see.
You get the new OS releases and stuff to test your software if you pay enough.
Do you have to pay for it?
Yes, you do. You do. You do have to pay for it. Because, you know, you're supposed to be a software developer, but in reality anybody can pay for it, you know? But it's almost as much as the OS, so unless you actually need it early, there's no reason to get it when the release candidate has all the features that that the final version's going to have. So you can just wait. But yeah, are you going to be upgrading to Windows 7 now that it's done?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because it's pointless.
Why? It's sort of like the... Once you use it, you can't go back to XP. That's what I've found.
Well, I'm fine with XP, and I have absolutely no problems with it.
Oh, that's too bad. One day you will, though. Anyways, that's it for tech news. Time for a little skill of the month update, maybe.
Scottum.
Yeah, we have had some changes since last week. MLI is now in first place with 12.6 million XP. Marking is in second with 10.78 million XP. And third is Adib with 9.1 million XP.
Yay.
And apparently, Marking has stopped because he's gone to something called Bandcamp. And also, Adib has stopped once he reached 14 million XP. So, it looks like MLI is in it now. There's still some time for a few of the top five maybe to catch up and beat him. I think he is going to break a record of the 13 million XP gained in the previous Hunter Skill of the Month, I believe it was. Or no, that was Fire Making, I'm sorry. So he'll probably end up breaking that record. But yeah, rsbnb.com/SKOTM. Next. Your
next
pick, Mr. Woodward.
My
what have
pick
you got?
Is a common site that I know myself, Shane, Mike, Jeff, a lot of other RSVNB people have been using. Paul, a lot of other RSVNB people have been using for a long time. It's dig.com. Basically, it's, I think it's what, a social media site they call it? A social news site? Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, stories get submitted, and if you find a story, the stories can be on anything. They can be anything from images, just images, to videos, to news stories, to sort of write-ups, reviews, articles, anything, basically. And
lolcats.
If you like, yes, based a lot of the occasional lolcat. If you like the story, you dig it. Obviously, you have to register an account to dig. And basically, stories are shown by sort of how many digs they have. So if we go, the tops in the last year, 365 days, the top story with load faster, you piece of shit. That's not a top story. 39,299 digs is dig this if you voted for Obama. 36,228 is Barack Obama wins the 2008 presidential election. Michael Jackson dies, got 24,000
digs.
Oh, God. So, there's a lot of... It's not really, you know, a serious news site. There's a lot of sort of funny stuff as well. And sort
if
of
you're... If
interesting
you're, if,
articles and funny images and stuff like that.
It's more of a liberal news site, you know?
Stuff it's not liberal.
Gets popped
fuck
up.
Off.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, it does have a liberal bias. But if you sign up on Dig and you intend to use it, then feel free to add me. Because you can add people and you see what they dig and they see what you dig. My user on Dig is Brad12088. Shane's is Shane12088.
Obviously.
I stole Shane's because I couldn't use him. Because I couldn't just have Brad. So yeah,
also,
it's a good site. It's good for wasting time.
Yeah, I think I registered in December 2004.
I registered in 2005, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my register date. They used to show it, but I know I've been around since they had the very, very old version. Were you around for the old version when they...
Yes, I remember it.
When it was
It says at the top, it says just below your name. It says, Brad, a
19-year-old... Oh, there it is.
That's incorrect. I joined December 23rd, 2005. You joined April 7th, 2005, you liar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there we go.
It and actually has my dating. It has me as a year older than I am. It says I'm 19, but I'm 18.
You should correct that.
I will correct it now.
Why
it's
is that?
It's been annoying me for a long time, but I can never be bothered.
Yeah.
About me. I think, okay, December 13th, 1990.
Hey, if you want to go to Dig, go to dig.com/invite/from/Shane12088.
No, do that to Brad12088. It's my pick, damn it.
Okay, Brad12088 or Shane12088, your pick. And we'll see whoever gets the most signups.
Me. Me.
Me. Me.
Oh, so I'll cry.
Do it. I guess not. Anyway, so yeah, it's dig.com. Lots of interesting stuff on there. Some of the tech news comes from there, some of it doesn't.
Do you just want me to do the Informer?
Please.
Okay, we have the two new sort of Informer stories out is Guitar Hero Marketing, which was written by Ryan. And who wrote the other one, Shane? And Kenny did a piece on X-Men Origins, the game. Should check those. And Alex has something out too, yes. Shane likes Alex's articles. They have a point to them and they're unique. There we go, I said it. Now you have to type what you've been doing and I'll read it out to the nice people. Membros! Shane's been in Seattle with his family. First time he's ever been on a plane. Apparently he's traveling with a girl. That's true.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to interject here and apologize for the abrupt ending. We were in the middle of what we were doing, and as you may have heard, Brad said that I scream like a girl on plane rides, but in reality that's what he has done in the past on plane rides. I'm not sure if he still does that, but anyways, just as my microphone finished doing its Darth Vader trick, Brad's internet went out, so it was out for a long time, and he went to bed in the end, so I ended up talking to him later in the morning, and he basically told me to state that he's been not doing anything else that's out of the ordinary, just a few trips to the gym, getting ready for his trip to Southwest England, which he's on now. As for me, I got back on Wednesday from my trip to Seattle, which was a nice change of pace. But it's always nice to be back, because I am looking forward to working on what I was working on before I left. So I think that's about it. I'm going to say RSBNB Update 214 is done, and I will see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone. This.
Link it to me for God's sake.
There's a Portuguese version of RuneScape. Membros.
Have they just linked this?
Yeah,
have
look. This? Look at it.
Membros.
Oh.